Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents Betches Moms with hosts Aileen Drexler and Brittany Levine. Get ready to lock yourself in the bathroom or wherever else you hide from your kids because you'll literally never be alone again.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Moms podcast. I'm Aileen.
And I'm Brittany.
And what is up? What's been happening, Brittany? How's life?
Okay, so something that we've done that we've been thinking a lot about is hiring a nanny. So we hired one, which is a really big deal for us. I feel like I talk about all the time, my kids are constantly home from daycare and it's been a huge stress factor on me and Noah working full time from home, and it's like impossible to get our work done. It was just something that we, you know, didn't kind of come out of nowhere. It was something we really needed to think about. And we're making it work. And so we took Jack out of daycare and Oliver's still there because now he's in like nursery school. He like needs that schooling. But yeah, this was the choice we decided to make. And it's been really nice, I have to say.
It's been nice. What's the best part? Or what are like the top two parts compared?
The laundry and bottle cleaning.
Bottles, yeah. Yeah, because I'm assuming you have to take care of all those things when you have daycare. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with daycare is like, you know, after school, we give the kids dinner, give them their baths, put them to sleep. Then we would do laundry. Then we would do the dishes. Like, we were doing everything.
Yeah.
And by the time we like got into bed, we had no time for anything. And it was just really affecting my mood. It was affecting Noah's mood. It was not really healthy for anybody in the household. Like, we really needed the help for a lot of reasons. So I'm glad we decided to do this, even though it still hurts that he's not going to have that daycare experience that Oliver had.
He can always go back. Like,
he can. He can. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Really young.
Yeah.
Babies have so much laundry. It's like every other day.
Insane. And also, if you have a spitter, which Jack is a spitter, I'm changing his outfits 4 or 5 times a day.
You don't just keep him in a bib like 24/7?
It's not just if he's sitting down, it gets everywhere. It gets all over his legs, on his hands, and then he's rubbing it in his hair. Like, he's disgusting.
I usually find myself like getting it on, like yesterday or 2 days ago, Mila spit up while I was feeding her for like bedtime and she spit down my cleavage.
Oh, yeah. That's like, happened
just, like,
to me.
Fully a boob.
Yeah.
A boob job.
I was actually going through my pictures from, like, I don't know, because that's what us moms do. We look back at like the old baby pictures and cry. And I found a picture from Oliver when I still had like my huge, like, breastfeeding boobs. And I guess like I took a picture to send to Noah or something on maternity leave that he spit up all down my shirt. And it was like, it was disgusting. Just like everywhere.
Yeah, it's a lot. So yeah, a lot of laundry.
A lot of laundry. But yeah, that's what's new here, which is like a pretty big change. What's been going on with you guys?
Okay, so she's almost 5 months, like this week. It was wild.
I know,
really weird. So our pediatrician said I can like start trying solids and like just as play or whatever as they say. So I tried like the baby oatmeal. Like, I texted you. I was like, I don't under fucking stand. Is it regular oatmeal? What is rice cereal? Is that Rice Krispies? But I found the baby oatmeal that you're supposed, like the baby or whatever, organics. Is that what it's called?
Happy Baby. Yeah.
Happy Baby. At the Whole Foods.
Yeah.
And yeah, she hated it. Like,
really?
Hated it. Was made like the funniest disgusted faces I've ever seen. Like as if she was choking, but she was not choking. She was like,
like, okay, like, you're being dramatic.
Disgusting. Yeah. I tried a couple days and that was a no for her dog. So the next we are trying is butternut squash.
So you've only tried the oatmeal so far?
I tried one day of butternut squash and it was only like a few bites, and she was like, what the hell is this shit? And it was like really funny, but then she was like really over it fast. So yeah. I'm gonna try it again, I think, and then I might move on. Because I know they say you have to do it 5 days, but...
No, 5 is excessive. Like you could do 3 to 4.
What's the next one I should try?
I started with avocado.
Okay, I'll do avocado next.
So when we had the pediatrician on, I had asked her what food to start with. And she said that all the moms in California start with avocado. And I was like, okay, that makes like a lot of sense. And I was like, all right, I'm going to start. Because he didn't like the oatmeal either. And it was making him gassy. So I was like, I'm just going to do the avocado.
Did you mix it with formula?
I did mix it with formula at first. And then I feel like it was so long ago at this point. Right. Are you making the food or are you buying it?
Well, what do you mean? How would you buy blended butternut squash?
What do you mean how would you buy blended butternut squash? You buy baby food.
No, what do you mean?
Wait, Aileen.
I thought you have to make it.
What year are you living in?
No, like I have a baby Biba or whatever they are called.
I am. Do you make your own formula too?
Yeah, I milk the formula cow. Yeah, I guess I hear you now. I hear you. No, I'm gonna make it because they say it's like should be one ingredient. But then again, like also my pediatrician was like, I had no time for that shit. I bought the baby food, so I was like, okay. So I'm just going to try it. Like you can make it on a weekend. It's just steaming and blending, right?
It's really easy, actually. So I was making Jack's food, I think, for 2 months before I decided that I didn't have time for that. But I had the Biba, and it was actually really easy because you steam it in one thing. It's like all in one thing. And then you like pour it into the blender and it just like blends it. And I bought like little glass containers off of Amazon. It really was very easy. I think every day I made it. I was like, Noah, this is so easy. And then when I stopped doing it, he was like, what happened to it being so easy? I was like, it got a little annoying.
It's annoying to have to clean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good point that I could buy it.
You could buy it.
But yeah, so that's our journey. The other milestone is that she giggled for the first time.
Aww,
and it was like the sweetest noise. However, I cannot get her to do it again. She's a tough crowd. And like, I'm worried. I'm like, you know, laughing is important in our family here.
Yes.
Like, I need her to have a sense of humor. Like, is she not find things funny? Am I not funny
enough?
She has
high standards. She has high standards.
But all kidding aside, does she just not find things funny?
Yes, she does. She's easing into it.
Come up with a routine.
Yeah. And like, I feel like some babies are like, it takes them longer to warm up than other babies.
She'll go, but she won't do like the giggle.
Yeah, it'll come.
Oh, it's the sweetest noise when it happened.
It's the best. It like clenches your heart.
Yeah. Oh, it's so sweet. So I'm just, so now I'm trying to act as dumb as I can to make her laugh.
The things that we do, right?
What makes Jack laugh?
Oliver.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Oh yeah, I saw you post that story of him, them two in the bath and him it's just like bath. Hysterically laughing at Oliver.
Yeah, Oliver won't be doing anything. He'll just be looking at Oliver hysterical laughing.
That's so cute.
It's really cute.
What do you do to make him laugh?
Like Jack happens to be a very easily impressed baby.
He's a low bar.
I pretty much don't need to do anything. I talk to him and he laughs. But also I don't think he was doing that at 5 months.
When did he start laughing? Six?
Maybe he started laughing around that time, but now he's 7 months and it's like nonstop. Like he gradually, it got like became more and more of a thing.
So maybe she'll start laughing more soon. And then. Yeah. It'll be exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let you know how my comedy routine is.
Yeah, going. Let me know. Record them, please.
I will.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything.
I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Brittany, what are we talking about today?
So today we're talking about our experiences introducing our dogs to our baby, and kind of in my case, dealing with Millie, my dog, Jack, and having a toddler. We did have our episode with Dog Meets Baby, Dominica, and before we gave birth. So now we're just going to talk about how that actually went.
Okay, yeah. A lot of people have been asking about our first babies, our dogs, and yes, how we sort of brought them in the mix with the kids. And also, like, I was particularly scared, mostly because you traumatized me about your situation.
Sorry.
No, not just you. There were others.
So after speaking with Dominica in that episode, did you take anything that she was saying to prepare?
I took her course and I made Rusty and I watch it. And that was good. It was interesting. It was a lot of what she said in our podcast, but it also, like, had visuals and, like, reminded me what she said. Mm-hmm. And it was that you want to kind of keep them separate at first. Don't ever put the dog, like, bring the baby down to the dog, because the dog will think the baby's like a treat or something like that. Mm-hmm. And keep the baby in a closed thing when the dog comes to meet her.
So is that like what do you mean a closed thing?
Like a play, pack and play or something. I didn't do that. What I did do is, I first of all, my mother-in-law was so kind as to watch Sansa. Sansa's my dog, Sansa, for the first week, and maybe almost week and a half, or maybe it was 2 weeks, something like that. No more than 2 weeks, but no less than 1 week when Mila came home. And it was good because I didn't have to worry while we were in the hospital, and that was amazing. And I didn't have to worry about it coming home, could just figure out the situation. And then when she did come home, first we had our baby nurse. So there was somebody to be with Mila while Rusty and I greeted Sansa for the first time in a really long time. So we, like, had the interaction. She was very calm. She got some energy out. We played with her outside. Like, that was important. And then when we did introduce them, we were so nervous. And Renee, our baby nurse, was like, "You guys are crazy." I was like, "Shut up. No, we're not. This is scary." She's like, "You guys are acting like your dog is like some sort of like vicious killer." And she sees Sansa and she's like, "This small golden doodle." She was like, "I can't believe this is the dog you were worried about."
I love Renee.
I was like laughing so hard, like her perspective of us, me and Rusty, like, is so anxious. And yeah, we introduced them and it was kind of, it was like very neutral. Like, you don't like force it. It's Sansa kind of like didn't really know what was going on. She like looked and then she just kind of went on and was more excited about us because she hasn't seen us in a while. And that's what Dominica said. And I also tried to crate train Sansa before that just to have that backup. And we kept that in the living room. We never really needed it. Mm-hmm. Sansa, and they always say like keep a leg between, but like at that point the newborn you're not putting her down really much except right, like in the dock tot or whatever. So, and then since then, like, honestly, Sansa's been very, very neutral. I try to be, and I'm sure that's going to change when Mila starts moving.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that Mila is noticing Sansa more, like sees her and stares at her, which is it's so funny because she didn't like acknowledge her presence before. And right, Sansa is being a little bit more sniffy. So I am like more conscious, but I'm also trying not to make the dog feel like it's bad when she comes near her. Like, I'm cautious, but I'm not like like on edge because I don't want there to be anxiety transferred.
She'll sense that.
To either human or animal.
Right.
Yeah, so I like let Santi come near her. I can see she's calm. Her like ears are neutral and I won't really let her lick her hands because she puts her like literally is gnawing on her entire fist to the point where she'll choke on them. And I'm like, are you okay? And so far we're pretty calm. We're neutral. She likes to sit with us when like I'm feeding her for bed. She's like, Santi will sit in the room. And she likes to follow me around or like see where Mila is. And so far it's like a curiosity, but it's very neutral so far. And I'm not sensing much jealousy yet or hopefully ever, but we make a point to try to like give Sansa more like attention or mm-hmm. not more attention, some attention.
Yeah.
Rusty's better than I am at it. Like, by a billion percent.
It's tough.
But it's a weird thing. Like I think back to a time when I was so obsessed with my dog and she was like my child. Like I would mm-hmm. and now I feel very badly that I don't feel that same like obsession. I still like love her so much,
yeah.
but it's not the same and I feel fucked up saying that, but I still love my dog. Please, all dog lovers who are listening, I still love my dog. It's just, it's such a different feeling. And maybe that'll change because when my baby's bigger. But right now, like, I, like, have to care about, like, the safety of my kid and, like, just all of that. And maybe that'll change. But that's my unpopular feeling. I don't know if you can relate.
I can relate. I mean, Millie was the same way. We got Millie when we lived in the city. She was our child. She went everywhere with us. Like, it was, we were probably annoying to other people about Millie. Like, can we bring her? And like, I don't want to leave her alone for too long and whatever. But your kids come first. And that's just what happens. And yeah. I feel like a lot of people probably feel that way after they have kids. But it sounds like it was a pretty smooth and successful transition for you guys, which
so
is
far.
Great. So far. I think it'll probably stay that way.
Sansi's a little sensitive when it comes to toddlers, like my niece. Okay. Because they get into, my niece gets into her face a little bit. And so mm-hmm. we try to be very like good about, try to be like really intense about boundaries. Like mm-hmm. Sansa's not a toddler. She's not, mm-hmm. she can't play with you like another, like your friends. So it's been better yeah. since we've been doing that, but good. I'm a little nervous about that, but I have some time.
Speaking of the toddler transition, that's where our issue comes in because my dog, Millie, she's a Havanese. She's 10 pounds. She's a fluff ball. She's so sweet. I've literally never seen her snap at anything. She's so, so sweet. Her biggest yeah. issue is that she pees and poops everywhere. And it got worse once we brought Oliver home because she was just, you know, dying for the attention that we were giving her. And that was our problem that we still haven't fixed. That we're reworking on, you know, and she's really good with Jack too. Like she's very calm with Jack. She doesn't really do much to him. But now Oliver, and I've mentioned this before on other episodes, how he's obsessed with her. He wants to just be with her 24/7. He wants her to sleep in his bed. He like tackles her and like holds her by the neck and brings her up and down the steps, which I hate. He doesn't listen to me. So finally, that is
like
why
he carries her.
Yes, he carries her and he'll be like the bottom step before I notice. And he looks at me and he's like, and I'm like, are you kidding me? He's like, what? I just want to bring on the couch with me. And I'm like, okay. So this is why I contacted Dominica, because it was just really stressful for us. And she gave us really good pointers. She was like, you need to set the boundaries. She's like, because I can't tell you how many times I've had emails start with, I never thought my dog would. And that statement really ran deep yeah. with me, because Millie, I would never think she would do anything. And she was like, look, they're animals. They have, at some point, she could just say, I've had enough and snap. And also, it's not really about your kids. It's about other kids that you have in the house, too. You know, they see Oliver doing this. They think they could do this. And Millie's not comfortable with them, or, you know, Oliver with other people's dogs. So yeah. What we've been working on now is, we told Oliver that we spoke to a doctor. and these are the new rules. And he can't, Millie has a bubble around her, and we can't go into Millie's bubble. If we're sitting and we want Millie to come over to us, we could ask for a treat, and he could hold a treat and Millie could come over and eat it, and he could pet her with one hand. He's not allowed to pet.
Not to.
Because petting her with two hands gives him the opportunity to start hugging and cuddling her.
And she, so, and dogs don't like that.
Well, in this case, he's too rough about it. He doesn't know the boundary. So it's just 1 to 100, like in, mm-hmm. or 0 to 60. Sorry, that's the same. 0 to 60. It's, there's no in
3
between.
To 67.
Whatever. It goes like really high, really fast. But so we, you know, she was like, and you have to model that. You're only allowed to pet Millie with one hand. It could be the front of your hand, the back of your hand. You could rub her belly. You could give her a treat. You could call her over. If she comes over to you, when you call her over, you're not allowed to pick her up. You're not allowed to go into her safe space. And mm-hmm. it's honestly as frustrating, as hard as it was the first couple of days, it's already been, I think, a little over a week. It's been helping a lot. It's just a lot of repeating ourselves.
Yeah.
Like a lot of repeating ourselves.
It's a lot of training. And
a lot
and
of
you
training.
Have to do that for both.
Yeah.
I'll ask about Oliver next. Has Millie been more receptive? Like, is she just her mood? Has her mood changed?
Yeah, I definitely think she gets, I feel like she's just a little bit happier. She feels less
anxious.
Yeah, a little less anxious. I do sense that things have been a little bit better. I do. But also at the same time, while we're doing this, we're sort of trying to fix the pee and poop thing. So one of the things we're doing is we only put her food and water down 3 times a day for 20 minutes and then let her outside an hour after that. So we're trying to eliminate all that. She's like not allowed in our downstairs because that's a trigger for her, because that's like the first place she goes. Yeah. And we have to keep like the bedroom doors closed. We just be really conscious about knowing where she is. We pretty much just keep her on our main floor. And she's been really good. She tells us when she has to go out. She has scratches on the door. She's also 6 years old. She's older. So not
it's harder
old,
to train. Yeah.
Yeah. Not even that it's hard to train, but it's like she already did these things. Like she already like scratched at the island when she wanted water. She already scratched at the door when she wanted to go out. It's just more about us like not leaving the food and water down all day or leaving the wee wee pad out for her. So it's now the wee wee pad's only out in the middle of the night. So far so good. I think we got really great tips, and it's just making sure we're being super repetitive. Then making sure that we're strict about it and we're not at like, you know, we don't just get
you
lazy
have to be
about
really
it.
Proactive.
Very like, proactive.
This isn't something that just happens. You need to make it happen.
Yes.
And for both child and dog. So how is Oliver receiving all of this, all these new rules?
He gets into these moods where he freaks out. He's like, I want Millie. Or like when he's coming into our bed in the morning. Although now Jack usually wakes up first, so we're downstairs already. He gets into his moods where that becomes a little bit more frustrating to deal with. And if that happens, we try to remove him from the situation by giving him a project or, you know, helping us cook or something, just diverting his attention somewhere else, like anything else with a toddler. But otherwise, like, I think slowly, like, he's been so much better. Like, she hasn't slept in his bed and he hasn't said anything about it.
Oh, when wow.
Yeah, and like when we say to him, like, no, you're in Millie's space, he kind of, like, sometimes he'll, like, try to get one last cuddle in, but then he'll, like, run away.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely is starting to pick up on these are the rules, and we have to listen to mommy and daddy, and I think that if we just keep doing it, it's going to work.
Yeah, I love that. I'm happy that you have a plan.
Yeah,
because
needed
sometimes
one.
It feels like even if you're just starting with a plan, like, the results haven't come in yet, but it feels like a lot, the pressure is relieved a little bit because you know you're working towards something.
Mm-hmm.
It's so true about what Dominica said about, like, you never think that your dog might do anything. Because she talked about an experience that she had, which she never thought would happen, right? Like, her dog became really aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Rusty has heard some really insane stories from work and at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine.
Right.
And a lot of those situations you would never think would happen. And so that's what really got me so nervous. And yeah, and I also had a trainer come. That was where I got the crate idea, the crating. I had a trainer kind of while I was pregnant, kind of like evaluate Sansa. And he's like, she's a great dog. She kind of owns you guys.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. He's like, she owned. Yeah. She like owns, you need to remind her that you are the owner. And what I mean by own though is like different than territorial. It's not that she would like, so this is my territory. It was more like, this is my owner. And like, you don't go fucking near my owner. And like, that's what I was, that's her thing.
Well, it's territorial over you.
Right. And that made me really scared because that's what I saw when we had like Rusty's friends who were kids, not Rusty's friends who were kids, Rusty's friends who had kids over Rusty's 3-year-old friends. And we would see that. So that's kind of like what spurred me to do it. And so like a lot of the other things also, I just remembered that I remember hearing from Dominica and this trainer was that always tell your dog to follow you. Like keep and always know where your dog is. Like you said, like it's following you. Say call, like if you're leaving to go to another room, call the dog to come with you. Dominica and the trainer also said, don't let your dog sleep in your bed. I was like, sorry. Like I'm not taking that away from my sweet sons.
Yeah.
Like I'm not making her life like just different. It's got to be, you know, I'm never going to keep them alone in any room together, but it is what it is. Like, I'm going to be, she slept in a bassinet Sansa could not possibly reach.
No.
And that is what it is. Like, I was like, if anything got crazy, if I felt a sense, then I would change that. But I just couldn't take it to that step. And they both were like, all right.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I just couldn't do it to her.
That didn't come up for us, but I guess we were talking about different things, but I feel like I've had trainers tell me that too. And like, I can't not. Like, I feel like she's like my anxiety dog. Like, she helps regulate my anxiety when I sleep.
Yeah. So we're not perfect, but we try to do our best.
Yeah. But I hope that all of this is like helping you guys, because whether it's something that you're dealing with or that will come up, I feel like we've already kind of met with all the trainers. So maybe some of this advice will help.
Yeah, no, I agree. And good luck to you, because I know you've been talking about this for so long. So hopefully this works.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good that like you did something to make it change, you know?
Being proactive is important.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now it's time for the Go Ask Your Mom segment. This week's email is from a listener who's also a dog mom, so let's dive into it.
All right, I can read it.
Yeah.
Hi, Aileen and Brittany. My son was born a few days before Mila. Congrats, Aileen, and also Brittany. He's getting to a stage where it's important for him to play with different toys / books, etc. I have a 2-year-old golden doodle who is so sweet to the 5-month-old baby, except the dog does not understand at all that certain toys are for the baby and not for him. Unfortunately, many of the baby's toys do look like dog toys. For example, the O-ball baby toy my human son loves, I like the human son, loves, looks a lot like the ball made for dogs that we used to play fetch with my dog son. And some of the soft books and other fabric books that we have for my baby have a crinkly material and sometimes even a squeaker feature, just like many dog toys have. My dog often takes the baby toys in order to get my attention when I'm playing with the baby. I try to firmly say no when he takes one of the baby toys, which doesn't always work. Sometimes I ignore the dog when he does this, but then risk the dog destroying the baby toy. I hate the idea of using a baby gate to separate my dog from the baby's room where we play with baby toys, and my human son really likes interacting and watching the dog, which makes me want to separate the dog and baby even less. I'm not worried about the dog being aggressive towards the baby himself, but do not know how to introduce baby toys to my baby without the dog thinking they are dog toys. Any advice on how to integrate baby toys into a home with a playful dog would be appreciated. Thanks, worried dog mom Betch. Have you had this issue?
I have had this issue.
Yeah.
Both times. What I did with Oliver, I was in an apartment. I had one of those like plastic baby pens, you know, like the gray and white gates. I had that around the playmat, and all of Oliver's toys were in there. And when we played in there, sometimes if I was in there with them, I would let Millie in there as long as I like knew where she was. And I mean, would she try to take the toys? Yeah, but I would take them away from her. Another really great diversion is giving Millie her Kong with peanut butter in it, or cheese, whatever you like to do, because it gave her an activity. So like, obviously, we're not dog trainers, I don't know, but like from my experience, I think the division is like, unless they're being supervised, is like the best way to kind of do that. And like keeping the baby toys in an area that the dog can't get to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, I agree with that totally. I also keep Sansa's toys away from Mila's toys. Like it's two different baskets. And anytime that Sansi wants one of her toys, and she'll just like stare at it and bark. And I'll go get your toy. I'll say like, go get your toy, go get your toy. And she'll be like, okay. And so she goes and gets her toy. And then I'll like at the same time with both arms, play with the dog and play with the baby to like make sure that, you know, the dog also feels like she's getting attention. But with that, not without putting my baby at risk for safety.
Right.
She is either in like a contained area or buckled into whatever. But I feel this. Like that is so hard. I'm very fortunate that Sansi listens when I say no. Like she does not. I'll say no. No, don't touch. Like she wants, she'll like if she comes to want to step on her mat, I'll be like no. Mm-hmm. And she
doesn't. She
backs up. Yeah.
That's good.
And yeah, she's definitely has some smart poodle in her. So I am very grateful, and I feel so bad earlier for saying that I don't feel that love anymore. Like I'm going to cry for saying that.
The dog mom guilt.
But it's real. I'm still obsessed with her, Sansi. I still love you so much.
Is this your no mom guilt?
Now it is. No, I have a different one. It doesn't have to do with the dog, but like now it's a double whammer here with the guilt because I feel so bad that I just said that. Although no. I know it is normal. I was so, you saw me with my dog. Like I was obsessed.
I was the same way.
Yeah, it just changes. Yeah. But no, I still love her. We try to give her attention. I take her for a walk at the same time as Mila when it's warmer.
Which is really hard to do.
Yeah. I would never recommend it in the city. The suburbs, I have a waist leash, like a really cool person. And just like the coolest girl on the block, like just absolutely just killing it. Everybody wants to be my friend with my waist leash. And I have Sansi on the leash, and it's good because she doesn't pull on it when it's around your waist.
Yeah.
And then I'm pushing the stroller, and it's all good. But good luck with the toy thing.
Yeah, good luck. I hope that helps.
Yeah. I like this, the separation, even though what I find with like the dog stuff is that often the advice is not something you want to do, but it is the right advice.
Yeah.
So even though you want to keep them, like even though you want to have them interact, you should probably keep them separate.
Right.
Like with a see-through fence.
Yeah.
So they can still see each other, but there is a division, and it's clear that the dog knows this is not his or her territory, his territory.
Right. But that was even like what Dominica told me about Millie not going downstairs, which is my family room / playroom where my kids always are. And I like didn't want to do that because I know that, you know, my the dog, Millie makes my kids happy and it makes us happy when she's with us. You know, she's part of the family. But I just realized that, like, you know what? Like, it is a trigger for her. It maybe won't be forever, but there needs to be a separation. And I just, you know, sometimes we need to follow those things if we want to get the results that we want.
Definitely. All right. Well, that was our Go Ask Your Mom segment. And you
go
can
ask
send
your mother.
Go, say hello to your mother for me. You can send your Go Ask Your Mom questions to moms@betches.com or DM us at BetchesMoms on Instagram.
All right, well, now it is time for our segment, No Mom Guilt, and you all know what it is at this point, right? So our No Mom Guilt is basically we all have mom guilt and it's normal, but we shouldn't really have mom guilt for these things because we're all doing too much and it's just normal to have these feelings. So Aileen, do you have a mom guilt that you want to talk about today?
Yeah, if I had, yeah. So there's a lot of guilt in this episode. I apologize, but again, like Brittany said, we hope that by saying it out loud, it kind of neutralizes it and makes us all realize that we all have these feelings and that they're normal. And it just sometimes feels better to say it. And we don't really need to have it because we talk it through. All right. So my guilt, my no guilt. I know I shouldn't feel guilty about this. I know the answer, but it is that. I feel, and I know this is the general mom guilt situation, is that you don't ever feel like you're doing enough.
Yeah.
But the specific thing I feel that I'm not doing enough about is like the reading. Like, I don't feel like I'm stimulating my child's like brain enough. Mm-hmm. And with like, I just feel, because it's when I'm spending all my time with her, it's the weekend. And at that time, I feel like also sort of I need a rest too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's so much easier to just like, okay, here, like I'll sit here just for a second and you play with the toys. But you need to be very interactive to stimulate their brain. So I know all that. I'm not saying that I do the former, but I feel that I could be doing more. And I was wondering, like, what books do you read to Jack? And like, are they complex books?
Like, chapter books?
Like, what kind of brains? Like, I want my kid to be smart. And I just want to know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I feel guilty that I'm not doing enough.
I don't think any of us know what we're doing.
Okay. I appreciate
that. I'm sure you're doing more than enough. And to make you feel a little bit better, I have guilt every single bedtime that I haven't been reading him books because I read to Oliver before bed every single night, starting from very early on. And I kind of sit on my phone while I give him his last bottle. And so you're not alone.
That is so honest. I love it.
I feel horrible while I'm doing it. I feel horrible. I have an entire book rack next to us. Like, there's books there. So you're not alone. I think actually if there were things you were looking for that would help, I love the touch and feel books. Those were always my favorite with Oliver. And there are a couple of brands that I have that I could tell you about. I forget the names of them, but they have like sandpaper or like rubber or shiny stuff or soft stuff, whatever. And so you're not only reading to them, but you're like taking their hands and you're having them touch it. And they're like, you're like, oh, it's soft. And I always really like those because you're not actually, it's kind of telling you what to do. And I feel like that's so much stimulation for them. Where even if you do the same book with them, like every day, like,
repetition is good though.
It is good. So you shouldn't feel guilty, because every mom listening is probably saying the exact same thing. They're not giving their kid enough stimulation because, like, also we're not teachers specifically. Right. So, like, we don't know what to do unless we're like Googling like following all these accounts.
Yeah.
But I do think the easiest way to do this with babies are those touch and feel books.
Okay. So I have some touch and feel books. But here's my problem. I'm like, is the topic so stupid? Like, I don't want her to believe that mermaids are real.
I don't think she understands what you're even saying.
Obsession with unicorns? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want.
Yeah.
So I really like Yeah, so I don't know. I like the Eva Chen book about all of the female heroes or whatever.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
good. But the thing about the bedtime is funny because I have never done that, actually, read at bedtime, because Mila has no patience to be sitting mm-hmm. there and listening to a book. She's like, I want to eat. This is time to eat.
Yeah, I feel like Jack is like that too, where Oliver wasn't.
Yeah, so I've never even felt guilty about that because it's not an option for me. She's like, mm-hmm. we're eating. This is go time now.
We're eating, we're sleeping. This we're is eating. The routine, mom.
We're sleeping. Yeah, she's good. Okay, I have one more thing to say about the books. Sorry.
Do it.
Isn't it weird to read books that like are classics now as an adult and to be like, what the fuck is this even about? Uh-huh. Like The Hungry Caterpillar.
Yeah, but it's the best book. The Hungry okay, Caterpillar.
But okay, the story is the caterpillar eats a lot, goes, I'm fat, goes to sleep and becomes a butterfly.
No, wait, you know what? You know what always...
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
What does it say at the end of the book? It says that it's in a...
A cocoon? I get if it's like a story about metamorphosis, but like yeah. it really doesn't really tell that tale. It just goes, okay, I had like 4 apples, and then it goes, I'm fat, and then it's like, oh, I turned into a butterfly. It's not like, it's no lesson.
No, I agree. It like tells you like so much about what happens, and then he just like goes into cocoon and then becomes butterfly. But how does he become a butterfly? Like, why can't you tell us that part of the story?
I want part 2. We need part 2 of The Hungry, Hungry Caterpillar.
Eric Carle, if you're listening, we need part 2. Is he alive?
You know the author of The Hungry Caterpillar. You just pull that out of nowhere, like out of your ass. You just pulled up the author of a children's picture book. Okay.
Well, he also loves Brown Bear, Brown Bear.
Oh, I love that.
He's
for
like
you.
He's like all the classics.
Oh, okay. I need more classics. I have The Rainbow Fish, and I remember The Rainbow Fish too when I was younger.
The Rainbow Fish was my favorite book, but now when I read it, I'm like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, this Rainbow Fish is such an asshole.
Yeah.
Wait, you know what's funny? Both you and I, that was my favorite book too because I love the colors.
Same. I loved how sparkly it was.
Yeah, we're
like every
visual
night.
People.
Yes, very much so.
So yeah, that Rainbow Fish is such a dick. Anyway, let's definitely put up some books on Story because I need to buy them. That. Anyway, that is it for this episode of the Betches Moms podcast. Please don't forget to rate, review, and follow us on Apple, Spotify, and follow Betches Moms on Instagram. You can follow Aileen, aka me, at Aileen, and Brittany wants to be left alone. And we'll post some books on that Instagram at Betches Moms. And please drop us a review if you love our show. Or, you know, drop us a 5-star review and put in your favorite books. That's a great idea. We can look at your recommendations. That would be really helpful. But put in 5 stars, because if you put in 3, I'm not going to read your recommendations.
Yeah, just put in 5 and we'll read it. And we need the book recommendations, so do that. Thanks.
And also, if you want to like put in like a book that you thought was so good and then you read it again as an adult and you're like, this is crazy, you can put that too. I'd love to read those. And don't forget, guys, there are no rules on this podcast. I'm not like a regular mom.
I'm a cool mom, right, Regina?
Please stop talking.
The Betches Moms podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong. Social media by Brittany Levine. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send us your emails to moms@betches.com.
Betches.